I want to go back to Revelation 7, hopefully. Been in this 2 weeks, and since we have, I want to try to get through it this week, Lord willing. There's so much in this, in the Bible, and there's so much in this book, you can't cover it all, but I want to take what the Lord gives and expound to you. I want to review, so we don't forget what's brought us here. As we are speaking of this, we know in the 6th chapter the seals are beginning to be opened. We're up to the 6th seal. But remember the preaching of the gospel that came forth and the destruction of Jerusalem, the fulfillment of the law, the desolation, if you would have that, of the law service being laid flat on the ground, and the establishment of the new kingdom, or the true kingdom, I should say, the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of Christ, for He is grace. And we read in chapter 6 about the persecution of the children of God. And these things would be troubling to the mind of man. So when we start the 7th chapter, we began to see the Holy Spirit giving John a knowledge of God's purpose and the finished work of Jesus Christ, and a knowledge that would give him peace to the understanding of the Holy Spirit of what God was doing, that we might have peace in this world. We began the chapter 2 weeks ago talking about the 144,000 and laid forth in Joel chapter 2 that this was the remnant whom the Lord our God shall call of God's people. A remnant would return to the kingdom of God in this world, that is Jew and Gentile alike. Joel said, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem should be deliverance, and in as many as the Lord our God shall call, bringing in Gentiles, the elect of God among the Gentiles. And last week we began to talk about the tribes represented in the 144,000 or the remnant. I made this point last week and I'm going to make it again. Israel had ceased to exist long before this. They had settled in the north. They had lost their identity. Does not say that God did not have a people. It says they had lost their identity. They were no longer part of or considered to be of God's people in this world, or at least it was not manifested, because they had lost their identity as the people of God. This was given by tribes that we can see what God does. One could read this and take what I'm going to say as something that we ourselves have done by our own works. And we must remember that our works of righteousness dare not appear before the throne of God. All of this is done in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He saved us from our sins. His blood paid the sin debt. He covered our sin. Therefore, by His Spirit within us, for it is God that makes us to do the work. I can't recall that. It's in Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God causes us to be this way, okay? It's all the work of God. If you're not a child of God, elect from the foundation of the world, born of the Spirit of God, with Christ working in you, then you cannot be like this. You don't have these attributes, if I can use that word. There are tribes here. Already mentioned last week, the tribe of Dan is not here. Judges 18, they left their own inheritance, and they went into a land of Laish. They conquered the people. They had a profane priest in idolatry that was leading them into worship of pagan gods. They left their identity. I want to say this again to clarify. This did not keep them from being seed of Jacob. It just purely meant they left their inheritance in the kingdom of God behind, and therefore they're not mentioned here in this because they're not in the kingdom. This text is speaking about the remnant of God's people, of all the mass multitude, the number of the stars of the sky, the very few, the remnant that God preserves and brings into the church in, that worship Him in truth, spirit and truth in the knowledge of Christ. He does that. He reveals it unto us. And I'll say this again. Every child of God born of the Spirit has the ability to hear and believe the gospel because Christ is in them. But due to our flesh and our nature, if God did not preserve a remnant, we wouldn't have a church. We'd all be out of it. We'd all leave the kingdom, just as Dan. And Ephraim is not mentioned here. And I'll get into that later. But they left Israel, or they left Judea, went to Mount Ephraim, settled in the north country, and raised up pagan gods, and therefore they left their inheritance. They're not mentioned here. This inheritance is in the kingdom of God. Every child of God will stand in heaven in immortal glory. This is speaking of the kingdom of God that Christ established, that we inhabit, that we dwell in while we're here in the world. Now, the first was Judah. Judah was the fourth born son of Jacob. The name means praise. We're just giving you a review till we get to today's text. Christ came from Judah. He sprang, the Bible says, from the tribe of Judah. There was a change in the priesthood. It went from flesh to spirit. Christ sprang from Judah, not Levi. Of the tribe of Reuben were still 12,000, 12 being a complete number. Reuben is the firstborn son of Jacob. In that we see being born of the Spirit of God, and we see this as the church and the remnant that the Lord preserves as being the, let me say this in a layman's terms, being manifested first in this world to give glory to Christ, being manifested first as the sons of God and disciples of Christ. Every child of God will be born of the Spirit between conception and death. We must be changed. We must be righteous before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven in the presence of God above and see Him as He is. But here in this world, the firstborn, the ones that are first here to manifest, to magnify Christ in their body and manifest Christ in them. Reuben represents the firstborn. Tribe of Gad. Gad is a troop. A troop cometh. Troops are military. Troops are armies. Made mention last week, Israel came out of Egypt, footmen, soldiers, armies. We are the militant church of Jesus Christ in this world. We don't fight with swords and guns and knives. We fight with the Spirit of God within us. We're the militant church. A troop of the tribe of Asher. Asher means Asher. It means blessed of God. Blessed. And that we have the blessings of God and salvation. We have the eternal and temporal. We have the blessing of God in the church, in the gospel. This, all of these represent the remnant, the true church that God has brought together and that God sustains. Of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali. Wrestlings. Wrestlings. When he was born, it was mentioned that Leah wrestled with her sister. Naphtali means wrestling. This represents us as we wrestle with sin, as we wrestle with death, as we wrestle against Satan and his devices, as he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, as we wrestle with God as the flesh wrestles against the spirit. It's why men ought always to pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, but Christ sustains. Of the tribe of Manasseh, that's where we left off. Manasseh being the firstborn of Joseph in the land of Egypt, where he was sold into by his brethren. He'd been in bondage, he'd been persecuted, been imprisoned. God blessed him. God blessed him through those things. Remember that as we suffer in this world, as individuals, church, or society, God blesses His people in wrestlings, in trouble, in trial, in tribulation, in persecution. His firstborn son was called Manasseh, which means the Lord hath caused me to forget my toil of all that he'd been through. And God causes us to forget all our toils and what we've been through, and to forget our Father's house. And I made mention last week of the Lord saying that, think that I'm come to bring peace, I'm come to bring division, to bring a sword, to set a man at variance against his father. What that is just telling us, that when God quickens one out of a family, it may be one brought up under the law. It may be one who has never been into a church and taught other things. I know Brother Obey coming over here from Africa was taught idolatry and worshiping the beast of the earth when he was young. He left his father's house because God let him out in Jesus Christ. We leave those things behind. And also, we see Philippians 2, I was going to read, as Paul said, Philippians 2, Philippians 3, I'll read you a couple of verses, 3 and 13, this is Paul, if he left the law service by God's providence and was brought into the kingdom of grace, the apostle of the Gentiles. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, my father's house, the law, the Jewish service, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, the kingdom of God in Christ, I press toward the prize, the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Now, today, we come to the text. In chapter 7, verse 7, pray for me. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. I told you last week, I've got bookmarkers all through here. They're not really bookmarkers. They're more note cards from time past. One of them clean, I think. Genesis 29. I'll start with 31. We began to see the children of Jacob being born. You see the second born. And I'll give you the reason and what the name means. This is Leah. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon, the Lord heard that I was hated, and God blessed her. We can find an example of that in Ezekiel 16. I'm not going to it because it's not a perfect example, but you will find there of a child who was born, was naked, covered in his own blood, covered in his own sin, laid out in the field and was hated and despised and loathed. That represents a child of God in the world. Yet God said, and when I passed by thee, it was a time of love. God knows our affliction. God knows our tribulations and our trials. God hears our cry. But this also represents, as the remnant of the New Testament church, it means heard. First of all, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We hear the voice of the Son of God because he hath revealed it unto us. What's the name of the book? Revelation. We hear the gospel. We hear, by the grace of God, all the deep things of God, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. They are revealed unto us by the Spirit of God. We hear God speak by His Spirit through Scripture and through the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel gives glory to Jesus Christ and none else. Not the minister who is a sinner, not the church who are sinners, not anything man-made in this world. All to Christ. Of the tribe of Levi. Levi was the third born son. And it means to be joined unto. She conceived again and bare a son, Genesis 29:34, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. Our husband is joined unto us. Christ is joined unto us. Because I have borne 3 sons, therefore was his name called Levi. Levi was also the priesthood, but in this context that we're speaking of, it means we are joined unto the Lord. Judah means praise. Reuben, the firstborn. You see how God is revealing this? Asher's the blessings of God. Naphtali, the wrestlings with the sin and death and the world and ourselves. And with God, because we are sinners and He is righteous. Manasseh, forgetting what's behind, forgetting the law, forgetting the sin and death, and moving forward into the grace of God. Simeon, hearing God, hearing the gospel. This is the New Testament church, the remnant of what God preserves in this world. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Issachar, Genesis 30. I'm going to start in verse 18. I'll give you a brief history to show you where it's at. Rachel desired the mandrakes. Her sister Leah said, will you take my mandrakes? You've also taken my husband. So Rachel made a deal with Leah that their husband Jacob would lay with her that night. That Rachel would get the mandrakes. Fleshly thoughts of man. She did. And verse 18 brings us to the child that was born. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. Issachar means hire, to hire, one who works, and the reward, the blessing that comes through that. Do you remember the parable? If I had thought about this before just now, I would have been able to tell you where it's at, but God just put it on my mind, I take. Where the Lord was dealing with those, and He hired some in the morning and gave them a penny. And later on in the day, He hired some more and gave them a penny. They were hired to work. We are put in the service of God by the Spirit of Christ, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In the sense of being hired for a penny a day, those men came and labored for the Lord. We labor for the Lord. We serve the Lord. And we have a result, if you will allow me to use the word payment or reward or blessing, as in Asher, in serving God. Those that God has brought into His labor. Of the tribe of Zebulun. The word means dwelling. I'm going to go to 49. Genesis 49 for that. 49. And Zebulun, verse 13, shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and it shall be an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. First thing there is the name represents a haven, a place where we can dwell, a place which is safe. The ships mentioned would haven in the harbor during the hard times. The church is sometimes called the old ship of Zion. We have a haven in the church of God. That's why when we come here, that we have such a blessing in being in fellowship with the Lord. Now, we go back. What was that? Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun were still 12,000. Now we come to some pretty things. Very, very, very pretty. Of the tribe of Joseph. How precious is the truth of God. Joseph, who was sold into bondage by his brethren, in many ways a type of Christ. No, I need to go back farther. Many ways. Here we go. A type of Christ. Genesis 30. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph. Rachel. Let me back up to 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived. Let me back up a little further to give you a point. God, Rachel, cried to Jacob, "Give me a child or else I die." And you understand what Jacob said to her. "Am I in God's stead?" Jacob knew full well he could not do anything. It's all in the hand of God. And I'll make this point again. If someone is born of God, it's by the hand of God. It's in Christ. If someone is a child of God, it comes from the election of grace and the covenant of the Godhead before the world was ever created. If someone comes into the church, it's the Spirit of God pricking them in the heart. Godly sorrow. Okay? But here we see Joseph, and God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Back to Genesis 49, we're talking about Joseph as Jacob is blessing his sons. Now all of these things we're reading in Scripture are fulfilled in the Old Testament in one way or another. But they're all coming down the road to the church of Jesus Christ. They're all teaching us of the New Testament church and the power of God and the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. They all prophesied of Christ. When John came paving the way, Christ came. Christ finished the work the Father gave him to do and ascended back to heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high. My point is all these things were fulfilled in Scripture in one place or another, but still they're pointing a farther time down the road. I've told you before, Israel, the physical nation, was a type of God's people. God had a people among the Israelites. They don't exist anymore. God still has a people as a nation, or as the people of God, bear with me. But God still has a people among them, His elect among them. He has an elect among the Gentiles and all from before the foundation of the world. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground, it abideth alone. But if it fall in the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Christ is the corn. We came from Christ. He died for us. As He came forth from death, we came forth from death. He died for our sins and was raised up for our justification to live and exist before God and worship God. Joseph, Genesis 49, 22, is a fruitful bough. You see, fruitful? Don't forget, the Lord shall add unto. The fruit comes from the vine. Christ is the vine that came from God. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well, that's the well of grace, that's the Spirit of God, whose branches run over the wall. Not just growing inside the wall of the city of Jerusalem or the church, but climbing over the wall and even outside. God has many, many people who never come into the church. You want to see our persecutions? Not going to spend much time on this part of it, but just move through it with an explanation of how we suffer and how Christ suffered. But his bow, Joseph's, abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. How did Joseph have strength? How did Joseph have blessing? He was hated of his brethren. He was sold to the Midianites who sold him into Egypt. He was put in prison on false claims. By the hands of the mighty God. I'll give you words in Malachi, "For I am the Lord and I change not." Those words were given to the sons of Levi, but they hold true to every child of God because we are the priesthood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. God does not change. What God did in creation, God did in your salvation, the same power, the same wisdom, the same might. His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And the same hand of God, Christ, the right hand, get to that in a moment. God, by the God of Jacob, from thence is the shepherd. From where? From the Almighty. Who is the shepherd? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10. The stone of Israel, the chief cornerstone. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, that's a name, Almighty God, who shall bless thee, he's talking to Joseph, with the blessings of heaven above. What do we see in Ephesians 1st chapter 1? We're blessed in heavenly places. You're standing today in a heavenly place because God, Christ, is in you. God is in you. The Holy Spirit leads and guides you. You're in heavenly places. Speaking of Joseph, who shall bless thee, the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast. As a newborn child at his mother's breast, and of the womb, being born of God. The blessings of thy father hath prevailed. Catch this. The blessings of thy father, Jacob, Israel, hath prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors, all the direct descendants of Jacob, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Back to Revelation 14. The hill of Zion, where stands the Lamb of God. With this same 144,000. On the head and the bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph. Let me back up. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. The utmost bound. They shall be on the head of Joseph. And on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. First and foremost, let's look at the crown placed upon his head of thorns. And then let's look at how he has paid the sin debt as the Lamb of God, the crown of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords upon the head of Jesus Christ. These blessings come from him and through him. This is Joseph, fruitful. The Lord shall add unto. If we have growth, the Lord adds unto. If we have a church, the Lord sustains it. Everything we have is in Christ, the Son of God. Give glory to Him, thank Him, praise Him, love Him, look to Him first and foremost in all things, and enjoy the blessings of God manifested in your heart. Now. Oh, this is one of my favorites. The next text especially. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, a type of Christ and the fruit he bore. But the fruitful, those that came forth from that corn of wheat. The tribe of Joseph. The church is to be fruitful. Not sports teams and large buildings with plate glass windows and paved parking lots and all the things people look for today. We're to be fruitful in Christ. We are to magnify Christ in our bodies in thankfulness and love of He who died for us. And to teach these things unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000. Those 11 men who were sons of Israel, Jacob, There was not a single one of them born in the promised land. Not one. Now you listen to me. I think every child of God should join the church. I think we should take up our cross daily and serve the Lord. First and foremost to give glory to the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who lived and died and rose up for us and secured us a home in heaven, where he's there now preparing a place for us. But we're sinners. Somebody one time told me, well, we want to keep the church pure. Well, let me tell you what the church is pure. It's pure sinners, each and every single one of us. When God grants repentance and one wants a home in the church, glory be to God, and take that brother or that sister in. I don't care who they are. But there was one child born in the promised land. One of 12. Can we say a remnant of Israel? Even Paul, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. First of all, Benjamin was a warrior tribe. Back to Genesis 49, and I'm going to get to what I want in the other one in just a moment. But I think I'm through with that. I'm going to lay that aside. Genesis 49, speaking of Benjamin, shall raven as a wolf. This is the New Testament church. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Now if you read the Bible, you find they drew the sword with the left hand, were a fierce warrior tribe as the physical tribe of Benjamin. They ravened as a wolf. They devoured the prey. But brethren, pointing to the New Testament church, the church today goes forth. Remember where it began, talking about he that went forth conquering and to conquer, and how that represents Christ and his gospel. We preach, we teach, we try our best as sinners to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it conquers, and it conquers, and it conquers. The gospel, when a man is born of the Spirit, when God has given him life, after that, maybe at the same time, but life must come first. The birth of the Spirit must come first. I had no choice in being born of my mother and my daddy. You have no choice of being born of God. Get that right now. When God gives life, and then when God calls you by his gospel, we are here to fight a spiritual warfare against sin. That goes back to the wrestlings. Sin and Satan and all the evil, wicked things of the world, all the evil, wicked things in our very own nature, all the wicked, evil things in our very own flesh. Are we going to fall? Yes. Read chapter 7 of the book of Romans. What I would do, I do not. That I do, I hate. That do I hate. Or that which I hate, that do I. And then Paul says, I thank God for Jesus Christ who had delivered me. We're sinners, but we're here to fight against ourselves, against flesh, human desires and nature, things that Satan causes to lead us astray. And against the institutions and forces of evil and darkness in this world. But we fight by the Spirit of God. How do we do that? In worship. Worship is the most important thing we do. Told you last week, read the book of Nehemiah, you find the first thing they rebuilt in the city wasn't the house of God, it was the altar. What's the altar? To worship God. Christ is the altar. But the most important thing that we have to do while we're here in this world, and that we will certainly be doing in heaven in immortal glory, is to worship God. Now that's Benjamin. That's the warrior tribe. Now let's get to Benjamin. Genesis 35. And they journeyed from Bethel, remember the house of God. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Ephrath, it is Bethlehem. It's in the promised land. And Rachel travailed. and had hard labor. This is the one child, the remnant of Israel, born in the promised land. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not. We should all remember that. Thou shalt have this son also. Let me tell you something, brethren. I would use this text before to try to teach parents when I was in a place where we had younger parents that have no fear. Have no fear. Teach your children about the Lord. We may die and pass on and never see the results of it, but God sees the end from the beginning. And at some point in time in Bible reference, train a child up in the way it should go, and he's old and not depart from it. It will come back to them by the grace of God. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. Rachel died having this child. Time out for a quick one. The law service died to give way to the kingdom of God. Remember, I think it's 29 in Genesis, where Jacob loved Rachel and he was deceived by Laban and was given Leah and served 7 more years for Rachel. There were 2 wives. Leah was cow-eyed. She was sorrowful. The law brings sorrow. Rachel was described as an ewe. E-W-E, mother of the sheep. There's a type of the two covenants. There's a type of the two kingdoms. The fleshly kingdom of Israel and the New Testament kingdom, the mother of the sheep, Rachel. She died. And when her soul was in departing, for she died, as she died, she called his name Benoni, which means son of my sorrows. His birth brought forth her death, for she died. And that's imperative. God taketh away the first that he may establish the second regarding the two kingdoms. And this being a type of that. But she died. She called his name Benoni, but son of my sorrows. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. The right hand, the power. He was the warrior tribe. He was the power of Jacob. Yet looking down the road to the New Testament revealed unto us today, we see the power of God in his right hand, which is Jesus Christ, by whom he created the heaven and the earth, by which he reigns over men today, just and unjust, by which he will condemn and send the wicked to hell, and by which he will bring to him. Somebody says, well, look what he said. You're going to inherit this kingdom because you did this, that, and the other. Because you came to see me when I was sick and fed me when I was hungry and gave me water when I was thirsty and clothing when I was naked. For it is God which worketh in you. Why did they do these things? Because Christ works in them. Give that glory to God. The right hand. The power. The right hand. God said, mine own arm has brought salvation. Christ. The hand of God. And then again, one last one. My sheep are in my Father's hand. They're graven on his hand, and my sheep are in my hand. For Christ is God in the flesh. His father called him Benjamin. Benjamin, the warrior tribe. That's the militant church in the world as we fight the forces of sin and death. And strive to give glory unto our Father which art in heaven and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, the Godhead, all in their deity. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Where was Christ born? Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. This is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And if you will have this, just as being a type, the church today is a pillar. but it's a pillar to Christ. Now, let's go back to the text. Through it all, those markings. I don't have to go back, I don't think. Okay, we have seen a remnant of the church of God and the tribes that are there. 1 Kings 12. I already told you Judges 18. That's where Dan left their inheritance and went into Laish and conquered it. Pagan idolatry. Let's go to 1 Kings 12. I may have mentioned this last week. There was hard feelings between Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who ruled over Judah, and Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an Ephraimite. But so they divided, they split. And I'll start in verse 23, because we find there the remnant also, another remnant. I'll go to 21. Rehoboam has come to Jerusalem. He assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 144,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel. Brethren fighting. Well, why would they fight? Why do we today? Why do we fight today? We don't have to fight. Stand in truth. That's all we need to do. There's no sense to fight. Stand in truth. David fought, a man of the sword. He could not build the kingdom of God because he was a man of war. That's why Solomon, God said, Solomon will build the house. There's a time to fight, brethren, but you can't build and fight at the same time very well. But the word of God came to this man of God and said, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, to the remnant of the people, saying, that's the remnant of Judah and Benjamin and Levi, who stayed there when the kingdom split. Jeroboam took 10.5 tribes, a half tribe of Joseph being Ephraim, who's not in our text over here in Revelation, because just as Dan, they left their inheritance. I'm getting to a point with this, if you'll pray for me. Verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim. The second born son of Joseph was Ephraim. A multitude of peoples. In that, you can go to John chapter 4, we'll do it sometime, and you can see where it says he must needs go through Samaria because he was gathering the lost sheep of the house of Israel from there, north of Jerusalem. Israel, Jeroboam, are the ones that were called Israel and that settled with Gentiles and lost their identity by taking the practice and pagan gods of the people God had separated them from. Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, here's man's nature. Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. You see, he says, we have separated. I brought 10.5 tribes here with me. You see, me, power, power. Sounds like Pharaoh sort of, doesn't it? If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house at Jerusalem, if they go back down to Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord. Do you see what he's saying? If they go back down to Jerusalem, they're going to start worshiping God again. How wicked are we? That's our nature. Jealousy, envy, strife. Even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now watch this. Whereupon the king, Jeroboam, took counsel and made two calves. Calves. Where have we seen that before? Exodus 32, 33, where they just come across the Red Sea. God called Moses onto the mountain top and was there 40 days. And these people that had just seen God do miraculous things by crossing over on dry land when God parted the Red Sea, raised up pagan altars unto thyself as Aaron did. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Here Jeroboam is doing the same thing. The same two calves representing fertility. That's all man worries about. Fertility. Me, gain, self. He made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of the Egypt. Now watch this. And he put the one in Bethel. Watch this. And the other he put in Dan. Whose names are not mentioned over there? Dan and Ephraim. And this became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan, and made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Boy, I could spend a month on those preaching who are not the sons of Levi, but I'm not touching that today. I'm not going to get through with this. After this, I beheld, and lo, now that 144,000 is the remnant, as we read last week in Romans 11, I have preserved unto myself 7,000 men, another number of completeness, which have not bowed the knee to Baal. God kept them, okay? This is the 144,000 that God keeps, that God reserves, that God maintains and sustains with His providence in keeping them. In Revelation 14, they were not worshiping pagan gods. Their hearts were true to Christ because God kept it that way. Yes, we can be deceived, but we cannot finally be deceived. And those in the church that God keeps is what this is talking about. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number. Where have we seen that before? This is the same people. Revelation 5 and 9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We reign over sin and death, and it's all in Christ. Same people, same people. After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude. This is every child of God who shall inherit heaven and immortal glory. John sees the remnant of God's people in the church, giving him through the Holy Spirit understanding that God will not be left without witness, that somewhere in this world to the end of time, God will have a people that will worship Him in spirit and truth. It may be here. It may be in Africa. It may be in China. It may be in Mexico. I don't know where it will be, but God certainly does. But I do know this, God will not be left without witness, and that's comforting. That should be our first priority. But now he sees this great multitude as the sands of the seashore, the stars of the sky, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, back to Revelation 5, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Once again, the white robes, the robes of the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, it's imputed righteousness of Christ. He made them righteous. And palms in their hands. John chapter 12, verse 13, you will see where Christ would come riding into Jerusalem. They came forth with palm trees, limbs of palms before Him. Hosanna! Hosanna! What does that mean? Save, Lord! Save, Lord! Let me find that. There's something there I can't recall. The next verse that I want to give you, John 12. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna! Here we are. Blessed is the King of Israel. This is the King of Israel. The physical Israel. Some of them, the spiritual Israel, all of them, which cometh in the name of the Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who was riding into Jerusalem to keep the last Passover and to suffer and bleed and die to save His people from their sins. All of them are there before Him in heaven. Nothing in this world matters, for the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be concealed, to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And cried with a loud voice, power, saying, salvation to our God. God is salvation. Zechariah 9, speaking of Christ coming in, riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass, lowly and just, and bringing salvation with him. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Remember what's around the throne in the earlier part of the book. And about the elders, the ministry, and the four beasts, sons of Jacob, apostles of the Lamb, representing the church. And the four beasts, there's the ministry, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Somebody says, what's heaven going to be like? I can guarantee you two things. Well, I can guarantee you many, but I'm going to make one point and move forward. There we will worship in truth because we shall see Him as He is. They're saying, amen, it is so. Blessing, this is seven praises, seven ways of praise. And I think I'm going to stop with that because I've got 4 minutes left. There's no way I'm going to get through this verse in 4 minutes. But there are seven ways that these people in heaven are praising Him. And remember, seven is complete. When we get in glory, we've got little glimpses. Paul ascended up into the third heaven above. Heard things uttered that were not lawful to be uttered. We can't see them, hear them, or understand them in this sinful body, in this sinful world. We know we've got a mansion prepared. We know we'll know everybody because Moses and Elijah and Peter, they all knew each other and they spoke with Christ about His demise. That ruffles feathers with some people, but it's Bible, and I'm not going to hide it. Let me give you another one. When I was a child, my view of heaven was Christ on the throne, and I understand this thinking, and I agree with the thinking to a degree. And around Him were all the saints of God, like they do when they sit on clouds on cartoons and comedies and stuff. But let me tell you what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 3. For we look for new heavens and a new earth. Book of Acts, I think chapter 4, maybe 3. I'd have to look. Just hit my mind. It says there's a restitution. Here we have refreshing. But there is coming a time of restitution. God is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I can't tell you what that's about, but the Bible does say a new heaven and a new earth. There are places in the Bible where the heaven and earth represents what's here, but that text in 2 Peter 3 is talking about a new heaven and a new earth where the children of God will be with Christ, without sin, without death, without sorrow, without Satan, without darkness, and we shall see Him as He is.